Welcome to Lawmen, a podcast about local legends and obscure curiosities from days of yore. I'm James Shakeshaft.
And I'm Alistair Beckett King.
And this week we have another deputy law person, Sunil Patel. Not in the studio, because we're recording this during the corona thing. I'm in a shed on my own.
I'm in a flat on my own.
And Sunil was in his house as well on his own.
And yet through the magic of audio, we're going to create the illusion that we're all sitting together before a roaring fire, hearing an extraordinary tale.
But with all sorts of weird, different background noise going on.
Today we're joined remotely, a great distance, by the public figure, comedian and beard owner, Sunil Patel.
Hello.
Hello.
I thought you were going to say broadcaster, as I refer to myself as broadcaster.
Broadcaster.
Oh.
I guess we're all broadcasters now, aren't we?
Broadcaster.
Broadcaster.
We have an accent problem that's going to come up in this show, because I know that you're from Bath.
Bath.
And I also know that people in Bath...
I'm not going to bring it up. You're the one who always brings it up.
People in Bath don't know how to pronounce Bath.
Bath.
I'll happily...
It takes too long to say.
Do you know what? You're entitled to your ill-informed opinion. And that is why the world is in the state it's in, I'm afraid.
So do I have to say Bath?
You can say what you want.
Is it offensive to...
No, not at all. I'm very open to different cultures, different people.
Yeah.
You call it whatever makes you happy, and I'll be able to translate.
I'm going to call it Newcastle.
No, come on! No!
The Spanner in the Works. There we go.
And Manchester.
Ah, oh, it really is. Do you suffer that the same pain in the stomach when you hear that when I say Bath? Does it cause that suffering?
Oh, no, not at all. I genuinely don't. We at school, we had a northern boy and we got used to it.
Like a pet.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a pupil. It was like, you had to take him home once a week, didn't you? Yeah.
Changes, water.
We had him when he had babies.
Do you know what? I like the North. I've got a lot of love for it. I've been in the North recently. I was in York, delightful. Sheffield, very nice. Leeds, all of the North.
All of the North.
Big fan. Manchester, that was nice.
Hmm.
Is that helpful?
Yep.
I'm just, you know, I'm aware that people in the North have a real issue with people in the South. I don't feel the same way. I feel like we're all one, all God's people.
It's very much a one-way rivalry,
yeah.
I think.
Do you know, we've had our conversations in the past, haven't we? Long, drawn-out affairs, which I won overall, I think. No, I don't remember
ever having disagreed with you.
No, I think we lived together in Edinburgh briefly a few years ago, and I remember having long chats with you. Very informative, very interesting. I think we're both good people, open to other opinions. I don't know about James, but, you know, I think we're on the same page.
I think so.
James?
I think it's Bath.
So you're from Bath. Oh, pass me another glass of...
Should we just call it Aqua Sulis, as the Romans called it? Should we go back far enough that people don't actually understand the dialect?
Aqua Sulis? That's an amazing name.
Sunil, you're a Bath boy.
That's right.
I think that's what they call people from Bath, isn't it?
A Bathonian.
a bather.
Bath's 80th favourite son. I don't know how many others there are. I don't think people in Bath know who I am or that I'm even from there. Well, my mum said that she said a fat man came up to her on the street and said, "Your son's a comedian and he's on TV." And then she went, "No, he isn't," because she didn't know about it. So I think he might be the only person who knows.
Well, look, you can't really blame your lack of fame on that. If you're not
Good
even
point.
Telling your parents,
Good point.
If you're keeping it that quiet. Because, like, you've got TV credits, but, like, if your mum doesn't know that...
No, but, Alistair, that fat man was him.
It was like one of those time travel things.
What year is this? Who's the president? Is Sunil Patel a comedian yet?
Listen, I think the fat man must have seen me on an advert. I think that's it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, that's where the money is, isn't it?
I'll tell you what, I'm doing all right.
Of course.
Nice, nice.
You've always said minted.
Yeah.
That's the air you carry yourself with.
No,
minted.
Is it? Well, it shouldn't be. I mean...
By which I mean own a lot of mints.
It's because I carry a lot of mints on me.
No, yeah. What do you want? Peppermint, spearmint?
After Eight, Tribor, Polos. I just think, well, he's got them.
Whenever I've struggled for money, I've always made sure I've kept enough. Like, I always spend on luxury items. I think it's best. Poverty is an attack on humanity, isn't it? So, you know, you must always keep up the niceties in life.
Is that why you're always looking so slick?
I think so. If that is true that I look slick, it's because I care more about what people think of me than I, you know, than I should.
This ties in very well to the story, actually, doesn't it? Alistair, have you ever heard of King Bladdered?
King Bladdered?
Yes.
That's a Mancunian phrase for drunk. Kim Bladdered.
Yeah, exactly. He's a person, not just what people from the North get on a Friday night. King Bladdered.
I have never heard of King Bladdered.
He's King Lear's dad.
Oh, I've heard of that. Right.
And King Lud's son. King Lud Hubridus.
So is he real?
I don't think so.
Yes, I know that because of the subject matter of this podcast.
He's apparently he was the eighth king of Britain, descendant from Brutus, who apparently named Britain.
Oh yeah,
or something. And this is like centuries before Jebus and stuff like that. It's a long, long time ago.
Well before the Romans, isn't it?
Well before the Romans, yeah. So he was the Prince Bladdered, and he got leprosy.
Bad luck.
Yeah, I know. They banished him, and he had to go into self-isolation. Very timely. First of all, his mother was very upset, and she gave him a special ring,
yeah,
so that he could prove who he was if he ever came back, presumably because his face would have fallen off or something.
What do you have on your face when you have leprosy, like scabs and that?
I think all bits of you fall off.
I thought legs and that fall off.
Yeah, I think what it technically does is it attacks the nerve endings, so you can't feel anything. So when you damage something, you don't know that you've knocked your leg off or something. So, yeah.
You don't know that you've knocked your leg off.
Yeah.
It's a week later and you haven't noticed.
Yeah, yeah. Leprosy. Yeah, leprosy.
Standard leprosy situation.
I'm not getting through my shoes as much as I normally do. So, yeah, he self-isolated, and he was just eating berries, any birds he could catch, and presumably, if we've learned anything, had a lot of toilet paper.
Any birds he could catch.
I'm King Bladdered, on the lookout for birds. Scouts now. He's moved to a different northern town.
Where have you got this information from, James?
From a little book called Somerset Legends by Berta Lawrence.
That I want that book.
It's a good book. It was like £3 off the internet. Published in 1973.
Can you hold it up to the camera so we can see the cover?
Yes.
Horrible, horrible typeface, but I love that folk horror photograph.
What do you call that typeface? Just horror?
I think it's called like Charleston or something like that. Not to suggest a Rain Man-like ability to recognise all
fonts. Oh, that's from the Bath Central Library as well.
It's from the actual Bath Library, yeah.
I used to spend a lot of time in there.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Isn't that a stolen book? Have you stolen this book from a library?
Yes.
No.
Or is it ex libris, as
I don't know.
Romans say.
Nerd. Using Latin. Get out.
So, Bladdered.
Yes.
He ended up in a place called Keynsham. Is that still a place? Do you know of Keynsham?
Keynsham.
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 Thank you very much.
Keynsham.
Home of Bill Bailey, actually. That's where he was from.
Oh, right.
Actual Bill Bailey.
Absolutely horrid little town. Horrid little town, Keynsham.
Halfway between Bath and Bristol.
That's right. What's halfway between Bath and Keynsham?
Don't know.
Salford. Is that helpful?
No.
No. Okay, Keynsham.
We're in a Zeno's paradox of horrible towns. In between each one, there's another horrible town. And in between that town, there's another horrible town, each more unpleasant than the last.
Keynsham was so horrible, it was full of venomous snakes.
That can't be right.
They've worked that out because a few hundred years later, St. Kenya turned them into snake stones.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. And people dug those up.
Yeah, you know, ammonites.
Yeah. They thought they were snakes.
That's what they thought they were. They thought they were snakes that had been turned to stone.
Easy mistake to make.
By St. Kenya.
Easy mistake to make that.
What annoys me is, as soon as you said it was full of snakes, Sunil said, that isn't correct. You immediately cut in with scepticism, and unfortunately, it turned out you were right. But what I want to say is, young man, that attitude is not going to fly on this podcast. You can't just keep cutting in with, nope, didn't happen.
No, this doesn't seem true at all. This whole thing seems nonsense.
A whole village full of snakes. A little bit difficult to believe.
I'm sorry, let's concentrate on the facts. Let's concentrate on the facts here. They were fossils, and they weren't snakes.
Fine.
Okay.
So
no, understood. I've been told off quite rightly. Thank you.
No, no. Those snakes are inadmissible, James. They're out.
That was the snake stones were a sidebar.
Okay.
James, answer me this. Where are the snakes now?
They're stones, mate.
Well, all of the snakes turned to stone, is it?
And they all curled up into exactly the same sleeping position.
And who turned them into stone?
St. Kenya.
St. Kena.
Huh?
Kena, as in Keynsham.
No, Kenya. Is it?
Not St. Kenya. Yeah. K-E-Y-N-A, yeah. Hence Keynsham, innit?
She's a keener. That was quite an insult at our school.
What's a keener?
Keener.
What are you doing, keener?
Yeah, K-E-Y-N-A is...
Yeah, I've misread that.
Yeah, well done. Kena, so Keynsham, yeah.
Yeah, Kena. I thought she was St. Kenya.
No, don't worry, it's an easy mistake to make.
So Keynsham because it was St. Kenya and Sham because of the whole lie about the snake stones, I see.
Yeah.
Anyway, Bladud finally got work as the lowest of the low, a pig farmer's assistant. Assistant pig farmer. Assistant to the pig farmer. What?
a sub-swineherd.
A swineherd's boy.
I can't believe...
Not even a swineherd.
Swineherd's boy.
But there is at least progression.
Did he show potential or not?
Well, the pig's caught leprosy, so I don't know. I don't know what he was doing to him.
It's the one thing they didn't want to happen.
Right, I'm going
to
look up how you contract leprosy, because I don't know what he's done to those pigs.
It's touching.
I want to know. Is it touching?
It's not. I mean, not emotional. I mean, it's literally
contact with the mucosal secretions of a person with the infection. Make of that what you will.
Mm.
Okay.
He sneezed on them.
Well, I think what we can say is he was a terrible swineherd's boy, because he kept farming them. What are you going to do?
Well, they weren't even his pigs.
No, they were the swineherd's pigs. He's a swineherd's boy.
Yeah.
It gives him leprosy. And then what he does is, like, drives him further into the forest to keep away from the swineherd so he doesn't get found out. But why even keep the pigs? No one's going to want to buy bacon that's got leprosy.
This is the problem with making, you know, the upper classes do a normal job. They will f*** it up, won't they?
Exactly.
Just running from any sort of responsibility. Then.
Yeah, it's like when Prince Andrew claimed to have temporarily been a swineherd for a while.
He remembers the exact time he wasn't a swineherd, though.
I couldn't be a swineherd because he was in a war.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Where he lost his ability to sweat.
No, let's show a little bit more respect to Prince Andrew. Come on.
Okay, he could be a swineherd's boy. So, yeah, he kept farming them, drove them deeper into the forest, drove them across a little shallow bit of the River Avon, which is still known as Swineford.
Don't know it.
Is it?
Don't know it.
Swineford. No. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it, mate.
And then in this other bit of the forest, he made pens for the pigs. So he's basically, he's stolen these pigs now from the swine herd, given them leprosy, stolen them. And then one morning, they all ran away.
Well, I thought he'd made pens.
Yeah, but he let them out. And then he finally found them wallowing in a swamp. And he lured them away with acorns, washed the mud off. And it looked like some of their leprous sores was not so bad as they were in the first place. And this kept happening day after day. They kept running away to this swamp, and he kept cleaning them off, and the leprosy got better and better until they were cured of leprosy, and then finally thought, I'm going to try this myself.
Finally, the penny dropped.
He got into the swamp, then he lured himself out with acorns over a series of days.
And washed himself off, and finally he was cured of leprosy.
Nice.
Well done.
Well, what a wonderful story. So he went back to the home, to his parents, the king and queen, got to the court, he's not being let in.
Sorry to interrupt, James. Is that the end of the pig subplot?
That's the end.
We don't find out what happened to the pigs, to the swineherd.
No, that's the end of it.
I'm invested in those guys. Are they not coming back?
No.
He's just left them behind.
He got what he wanted from the pigs.
Someone else can deal with it now.
Oh, right. So while he had leprosy, it was all about the pigs.
Yeah.
And as soon as it's cured,
we've forgotten
the pigs were even... Right.
Someone else's pigs again. So I don't know how long he was with these pigs, but they're not here.
Yeah, these are stolen pigs.
But he's clearly formed a bond. He's wallowing in mud baths with them.
He would have had a connection with those pigs.
Well, he did. Otherwise, how did they get leprosy?
They were obviously close. And then they're sort of in a jacuzzi situation.
Yeah.
They're going to swap stories. They're going to bond.
Yeah.
Mm.
But he just walked away from it all cold. Very cold-hearted man.
He's trying to go back to take his birthright.
Okay, fair enough.
Which is not pigs. So he goes...
What's he the king of?
Britain.
All of it?
Well, Britain in them days was about basically as far as the north as the Watford Gap.
Oh, yeah, because
and then you've got your Daneland.
Monsters.
Oh, no, actually, that's later on.
Yeah.
But basically, it was a...
You've got people like Alistair. Yeah. who's clearly descended from Vikings.
Yeah, real sort of macho alpha male guys like me.
Inherently violent and warlike.
Yeah, just burly blobs of testosterone rolling around the hills like marbles.
Oh, that's horrible. That's a horrible image.
Yeah, like a dropped meatball just gathering sort of bits of wool and twigs. Just
marauding and killing monks. Yeah. That's what you were doing.
Yeah, just ploughing through worshipful buildings.
Taking an axe to a monastery. That was your previous life.
That's me, yeah. Just posing for Usborne Books of the Vikings. I decided to really smash a friar in the face. Believe in God, dear.
What do you think your Viking descendants would think of you now?
I think they'd be pleased that I'd moved up in the world and gained sort of middle-class skills and status. Yeah.
What's your supermarket of choice?
Sainsbury's.
I suppose they'd be pleasantly happy with that, yeah.
Rather than Netto, the Viking supermarket.
You haven't made it to Ocado yet, but, you know, there's still time.
No one can. It's been shut down because of the crisis. The crisis, and they went, that's it. Oh, social mobility has stopped. Ocado have stopped accepting new members. The middle class is finished. It's no more room.
I've never seen a business give up like Ocado did. It's amazing.
It kind of, the whole of capitalism is collapsing because, yeah, like, the whole essence of people wanted our business too much, so we had to stop doing it. How is that possible? There was so much demand for our business, we're out of business.
It's extraordinary.
It's the opposite of what should have happened. Yeah.
My local shop gave me £1.30 off my shopping because I didn't have the exact change because he's making so much money, he doesn't care.
Really?
Never happened before. Yeah.
So what shop do you shop in? What's your corner shop?
It's actually like, it's a corner shop, but it also has lots of Italian stuff because the owner is half Italian. So
nice.
I get a load of pasta and stuff from there. Oh, it's got some beautiful meats, like imported from Italy, Italian snacks,
probably
crisps,
not anymore.
Pastas, tins of stuff.
Every one of them deeply infected with the plague.
Deeply, heavily discounted.
Well, it was worth it. The delicious meats. I don't care.
I thought you were going to say Mamma Mia at one point.
I'm working on the Italian accent.
Are you looking at any other sources apart from the Dolmio dolls? And that wasn't a pun on sources, by the way. That wasn't an intentional pun on sources, but I'm happy that it was there.
He's got a dancing Italian waiter in his head at the moment. That's all.
Look,
he can
it's not
of.
My culture, and I don't understand it, but like Sunil, I respect it. So he went back to reclaim his birthright.
Yes, he goes back to the court, but he's not let in because he stinks of pig.
I nearly spat water everywhere.
That's dangerous when you're on a laptop.
So he went back to the court.
He manages to persuade one of the servants to put that ring from earlier in the Queen's cup.
That's much not maintaining social distancing. That's disgusting.
This is a very, very sort of cinema theatrical device, isn't it? Why didn't you just say, I'm here, I'm the son, here's the ring, and then show the ring?
She makes a big toast during the dinner, drinks the drink and sees the ring and realises that he's there, Bladud's there. Where's Bladud? She shouts. And he's reinstated and becomes, you know, prince again. Although I don't think, if you knew that you'd given a ring to someone with leprosy and then you finished your drink and you recognise that ring in the bottom of it, how happy would you be?
Yeah.
Not very.
Leper's ring. Touched him. He's probably put mucus on it.
You'd be slightly worried that he'd climbed into the wine barrel and dissolved.
Oh, yeah.
Leaving only the ring.
I wasn't, but now I am.
This seems like a period of time where almost anything could happen. What with the woman turning snakes into stones, you'd be terrified of absolutely everything.
Oh, that's not for a few hundred years.
Oh, right.
So the snakes are still out there now at this time of the
story.
That's
why we know that the snakes were there, because not Kenya, the other one, Kenya. I do just want to know, Alistair, when you eat Christmas time, when you have a Christmas pudding and you find coins in that, do you think that a wallet dissolved into the pudding?
I assume a rich man has been baked inside it.
Or a busker. So, yeah, he's reinstated. He travels to Greece and learns mathematics, philosophy and necromancy.
What's the necromancy?
Raising the dead.
That's useful.
Yeah. It is, yeah.
You say that with experience.
It is,
oh,
yeah.
It is, actually. It is. Yeah. I know all the omancies.
Alchemancy?
Oneiromancy, I think it is.
Skunkomancy.
End the podcast there. I think we're done. Skunk and Nancy, excellent stuff.
So he, when he later becomes king, he sets up the town there of Bath around these hot springs, and that's why they're there today. And in fact, on the Roman baths, there used to be a painting. There was a painting of him scattering his acorns and the pigs following him. And there's nothing you can read into that at all.
So just so I understand this, Bath, the famous spa town, began as a muddy pool,
a swamp,
a bog that that pigs were wallowing in.
Mm. Yeah.
What a disgusting origin story.
Yeah, the other places around it were actually settled way before Bath. So, yeah. Because Bath is in the middle of a valley, but they didn't realise there was hot springs there because they're fools. I don't know where the hot springs came from. What was the myth? There was a myth that someone dropped a big stone the size of a tree into some water and that turned into hot springs.
Something that Bladud was a magician in league with the devil.
That was
and he buried a massive hot rock, which
you know
heats the water.
I don't know where hot springs come from either. Does anyone?
Well, they actually do come from very hot rocks because they're so far down that they're near the lava and stuff like that. So it's kind of true.
Not, it's not kind of true that a magician did it.
Who's in league with the devil. But some people believe that he created the hot spring. I don't understand this one. Some people think that he created the hot springs, Bladud, by burying four barrels or tons. Two were made of brass and two were made of glass, which just seems like more and more ways to wind up the north.
Yeah, brass and glass, please, for goodness sake.
Which were filled with salt and brimstone. That's probably the salt of the earth as well.
Salt and brimstone.
And that's what heated the springs. And there was something else about them turning into spherical stones when they were done, but it's all very confusing.
Come on, for God's sake.
But it almost sounds like a an ancient battery, you know, like sort of different kinds of metal and an electrolyte.
Bartery. But do you want to know how he died, old King Bladud?
Yeah, go on.
Because of all his fancy Greek learning, he decided to make a pair of magic wings.
Oh, yes.
And fly all the way from Bath, and he crashed into London.
No.
No?
He died in Bath. He crashed into Bath.
Oh, I thought... He
went from the top of the hill. He was trying to fly to London, but he fell very quickly.
And just hit the Temple of Apollo.
I was going to say, because there's a huge margin of error there between he crashed into Bath and he crashed into London.
Yeah, it is...
It's still a couple of hours on the train today.
They think he was struck down by God.
He was struck down by gravity.
But Christian versions of this, Christian sort of interpretations of that, say that because, like Icarus as well, like God was angry because it mocked Jesus' ascension.
Oh.
But all these things, but these happened before Jesus was around.
Yeah, Icarus.
Hundreds of years.
I mean, I'm put in mind of the flat earther who just died in a rocket test to see if the earth was flat at time of recording. That happened recently. Did you follow that story?
No. I heard someone had died, but I didn't know he was a flat earther.
Yeah, a flat earther had been building a rocket so he could fly up and see the curvature of the earth, or lack thereof, for himself.
Oh.
But it turned out that he was mad, and it didn't work, and he died.
Was his maths all wrong?
I don't know what happened. I don't know if he exploded or if he just fell out of the sky. It's also possible, though, that God struck him down for mocking Christ's ascension, and that the earth is flat.
Yeah. That is true.
Literally anything is possible.
No, I'm really pleased that we've gone from a town couldn't be full of snakes to literally anything is possible.
Well, because while we were talking, because he's a descendant of Brutus, which is what we said earlier, and that's the myth that was a Roman lad who came over and became the first king of Britain.
Brutus, top Roman lad.
Brute of Troy. But he's a descendant of Trojan hero Aeneas.
Wonder what his weak spot is.
That wouldn't be Aeneas, would it?
Yeah, I did it for comic effect. It was unnecessary.
Yeah, okay. His girlfriend was Dido. Try and make a joke about Dido. Try and mispronounce that humorously. You can't.
But I never even knew about the whole idea that was a Roman guy who was the first king of Britain.
Yeah, I think the same myth, sort of, the same probably not true myth, that Aeneas left Troy after the siege, went to found Rome. And that Brutus left Rome and founded Britain. Didn't happen.
Mad that. Didn't happen. So who did set up Britain?
Oh, it's these two twins who were suckled by wolves.
Ant and Declan. couple of twins, they were suckled by wolves. A lot of people don't know that, but if you check Biker Grove, that is actually their origin story.
So Biker Grove was an allegory all along.
It's a historical, fantastic. Historical epic drama. It's like Game of Thrones. People don't realise that Jeff wasn't actually a person. It was an honorary title, and when he dies, it'll pass on to anybody else with that beard.
They remove the beard.
Yeah, it's like the crown. To whom will the beard fall? All right, I think it's score time, James.
Yeah, let's do some scores.
So what's the first category?
Naming, the old favourite.
So what names have we got? What names have we got that you didn't make more interesting by mispronouncing, like Anus and Kenya?
St. Kenya.
What was the mum's name?
Never found out the mum's name.
Oh, shall annoying. I find out now? I'll find out now.
Sexist. I couldn't find it. King Bladdered.
King Bladdered. All right, that's a strong name. King Bladdered is a really strong opening.
The only time I'd ever heard the name Bladdered, really, and I never thought about it having seen it around Bath, is the only thing was that there's a pub called the Bladdered Arms, which is quite funny. And that was the only thing I really knew about.
Those are all terrific great names. Thanks for slipping in that good pub name. Do we know any of the pigs' names? Squeaky, Squealy, Slippy?
No.
Yes, James, can you tell us the pigs' names, please? From your book?
No.
From your book you stole from the library?
He didn't give them names.
The snakes, do the snakes have names?
I didn't...
Squeaky, Slippy, Slidey?
Snake stones.
Snake stones. I do like the word snake stones.
Snake stones or Keener stones. Keener stones. Known as.
That's all right. I think you look at it a 4 out of 5 unless you can pull out something really strong that I have forgotten.
The dad was called... Lud Huddy Bras.
No, that's nonsense. That's nonsense.
Is that true? Did you just make that up?
That is absolute.
No, that's the dad's name. That was the king.
His name was Lud Huddy Bras.
King Lud Huddy Bras.
Right, I'm going to have to Google it now.
And of course, the name of the town, Bath.
It's 5 out of 5. I don't even want to know if Lud Huddy Bras is just a noise you made up.
Yeah, let's go for it. That's fine. Yeah.
Let's just add to the myth, even if that's not true.
Just for people listening to this, James is just smiling at the moment. He's just smiling and he won't stop. Sorry, yes, next category.
Second category, lay it on me.
Supernatural.
Supernatural. It is a low score, plummetingly low. It's approaching absolute zero, which is -273, I think.
Magic wings.
No, they're real wings.
No, they were not magic wings.
Just wax and feathers, isn't it?
A man with the ability to jump off a building and fall
is
all we've got.
Bringing the dead to life?
He learned necromancy, but we don't know if he practiced it.
Well, the big rock, big hot rock.
Yeah, that's not true, though, is it?
Yeah, we don't
that
believe
it. That bit's not true. No.
And also, is a big hot rock supernatural?
It depends if the devil gave it
would
to you.
Would you be, if a volcano were erupting, would you be going, oh, spooky?
Physics-wise, it makes sense. So it's not supernatural, I guess.
It's not. These are all easily explicable. Snakes turn to stone.
if he was here, King Bladdered was here, he would be going, but how those pigs magically got leprosy? There's no way they could have got them by any other means. Pigs can't talk, right?
It's a 1 out of 5 for how Slippy and Squeaky and Squealy, the pigs, mysteriously got a contagious disease from a man who spent a lot of time with them unsupervised. 1 out of 5.
Okay, well, that brings us to the next topic, unsung heroes.
Who are the unsung heroes?
The pigs!
Oh, yeah.
Slippy, Squeaky. Yeah.
Nippy.
Babe 2, Pig in the City.
They're the ones who found out about the water first, isn't it?
That is true.
Yeah, the animal testing that he did.
As always, yeah, you're right, the royals are taking advantage and exploiting people around them.
Good, hard-working pigs. As I call everyone around me as I walk through London. Which is what you wanted to hear, Alistair, isn't it? That's what you wanted to hear.
Out the window. Look at you, hard-working pigs.
To me, you're nothing more than a pig with leprosy.
Can't wait to open with that when gigs start running.
Just saying it to the Ocado man when he delivers. You hard-working pig. Give me my fennel.
That'll do, leprous pig. That'll do.
Often thought that my material is like putting pearls before swine anyway. They don't deserve it. Anyway, sorry. Unsung heroes, 5 out of 5. I don't know. What's
the score? No. Sunil said it. It's 5 out of 5. those are the rules of the podcast. I don't approve, but you've said it, so it's 5 out of 5 for Pearls Before Swine or whatever this category was. Final category. Hit me.
Final category is the didn't happen category.
Didn't happen?
Didn't happen.
I think it did happen. I think it did happen that someone was thought they were cured of leprosy from those waters.
What? Are you negotiating down your own...
What are you... Sunil?
I care more about the truth than about winning.
We've really broken Sunil on this one.
It's not about the point.
He went from... There's no such thing as snakes.
Listen,
I've never seen one.
If there's anything I've learned, given current circumstances, is that we must all pull together in the face of...
Didn't happen. 5 out of 5.
5 out of 5. Didn't happen.
Didn't happen. Look, 5 out of 5 loo rolls.
It really didn't happen. So...
Okay, all right. Gosh,
you got snakes, you got magic pigs.
Those pigs weren't magic.
Okay, but it's taught us a lot about ourselves and life.
Mm.
Yeah.
Don't fly to your death.
Yeah, there's a lot of morals, a lot of lessons to be learned.
Yeah.
It's 5 out of 5 that didn't happen. I think this is one of the least happened stories we've ever covered.
Oh, I need to listen to the others then, because this was bad, this one.
Thank you very much, Sunil Patel. Is there anything you would like to plug? And the answer is no, because last week Amy Gledhill plugged her tour, which the next day was cancelled because of a global crisis. So what have you got in the pipeline?
Podcast, I suppose.
Haven't we all?
You do a podcast called Why Is Harriet Crying? With Harriet Kemsley.
Why Is Harriet Crying? Of course, she insists that I plug that one first, so please listen to that. Second one is But Where Are You Really From? Which is on BBC Sounds. That's where we interview people who aren't white and ask them, where are you really from, mate?
That's you and a couple of other people, isn't it?
That's with Ishan Akbar and Nima Dedra. Yeah, and I think basically we don't know how things are going at the moment, but we're still scheduled in to do a weekly radio show on the Asian Network. But if you want to listen to that, I'll be there mispronouncing every name.
But it is only for Asian people. So,
yes, please don't tune in if you're
not Asian. Please don't listen.
Suspect there's a very large ethnic minority listenership for this podcast.
Oh, yeah, it's massive. Absolutely massive. The Italians are always emailing. Stop doing their accent. Why are you making fun of my mama? They're always saying stuff like that.
There we go. I insist that stays in as well. Insist.
I'm so sorry.
The mum in the next room calls through, Mama? Mia?
Oh, James. Are you going to finish the podcast on that?
No, we can't end on a horribly offensive Italian voice. So thank you very much, Sunil Patel.
Pleasure. Thanks for having me on, lads. It was fun. I learned something.
About pigs.
Yeah, about the pigs.
Keep your distance. Keep your distance. No matter how tempted you are, it's not worth it.
So that was that story, which was very entertaining. I'm sorry that we appear to have broken Sunil's trademark cynicism.
I'm also quite sorry to the Italians.
Yeah. And join us next time when, I mean, we don't know what's going to happen. It changes day to day, doesn't it?
We might try and make another podcast.
See ya.
Bye.
Stay safe.